Letters from a Glass House is a not-for-profit ministry of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Venice, Florida. Support us today at uucov.org. I want to start today by giving you some ideas about intolerance. Now, that doesn't sound too promising in a church, but indulge me for just a moment. We are Unitarian Universalist. If anyone came here looking for the Lutherans, you are quite confused right now, but hang around. You might like the sermon. As you use, we talk a lot about welcoming all people. And we do. We do welcome all people. Radical welcome and radical hospitality are two of the things I hold most dear. We have no test of faith. We have no sacred book. You don't have to repeat some catechism to be allowed to stay. All people, all physical bodies are indeed welcome here. But here's the sticky part. All ideas and their lived values are not. What does that mean in real terms? It means this. Back in 1945, a philosopher named Karl Popper defined something he called the paradox of tolerance. He wrote in his scholarly work, The Open Society and Its Enemies, Volume 1, sounds like a real page-turner, but it's a wonderful book. He wrote, less known is the paradox of tolerance. Unlimited tolerance must lead to the disappearance of tolerance. I want you to think about that for a minute. If we extend unlimited tolerance even to those who are intolerant, if we are not prepared to defend a tolerant society against the onslaught of the intolerant, then the tolerant will be destroyed and tolerance with them. In this formulation, I do not imply, he says, that we should always suppress the utterance of intolerant philosophies. As long as we can counter them by rational argument and keep them in check by public opinion, suppression would certainly be unwise. But we should claim the right to suppress them, if necessary, even by force. For it may easily turn out that they are not prepared to meet us on the level of rational argument, but begin by denouncing all argument. They may forbid their followers to listen to rational argument because it is deceptive, and teach them to answer arguments by the use of their fist or pistols. We should therefore claim in the name of tolerance the right not to tolerate the intolerant. He concluded that we are warranted in refusing to tolerate intolerance. We should therefore claim in the name of tolerance the right not to tolerate the intolerance. Boiled down, that is Popper's paradox. Boiled down, if you want to have a tolerant society, you cannot tolerate the intolerant. You have to tolerate everybody else. It took people, and by people I mean philosophy students, a lot of years to mull this idea over. And in 1971, a philosopher named John Rawls was ready to argue it. In his work, A Theory of Justice, Rawls said that in order to actually be a just society must tolerate the intolerant. Otherwise, the society itself would be intolerant and therefore not just. However, Rawls goes on to argue with Popper, or to agree with Popper, by concluding that such a just and truly tolerant society will be destroyed inevitably by the intolerance it tolerates. He believes then that a mostly just society has a right to self-preservation, which supersedes the need to be tolerant and just to a fault. Here's his quote. Rawls says specifically that while an intolerant sect does not itself have title to complain of intolerance, its freedom should be restricted only when the tolerant, sincerely and with reason, believe their own security and that of the institutions of liberty are in danger. So don't try to be perfectly just, he argues. Refuse to tolerate the intolerant for the preservation of a mostly just society. By 1997, a gentleman named Michael Walzer started to look at this from a different angle. And he noted that most minority religious groups specifically are intolerant to an extent, but that in a tolerant world, they soften their stance a bit and learn to either be tolerant or at least behave as if they possessed this virtue. This whole issue of the tolerance paradox comes up a lot in UU circles. If we are indeed here to transform the world, then we owe it to the world not to let ourselves be destroyed. But in order not to be destroyed, we cannot tolerate ideas which would destroy us. They got us coming and going there. In her article, All Are Welcome, to a point, Darcy Baxter tells the actual story of what happened in New Orleans. "Come, come, whoever you are welcome here. On the morning of Sunday, July 20th, 2014, the Reverend Deanna Van Diver and Kimberly Quinn Johnson began worship at First UU Church of New Orleans with the congregation's customary greeting. Similar words greeted worshipers in many of our congregations that day, too. But despite how often we say something like, all are welcome, and as events in New Orleans that morning proved, it is not true. All are not welcome, and that is absolutely okay. In the middle of the quiet moment of prayer and meditation, Deanna Waller, a member of the anti-abortion group Operation Save America, stood up and began hurling verbal assaults at the congregation. Others joined in, yelling that the church was not a true faith, exhorting members to repent. Van Diver, a UU minister and the executive director of the Center for Ethical Living and the Social Justice Renewal, asked Waller and her fellow interlopers to leave the sanctuary if they could not participate respectfully. Waller retorted, but you said all are welcome here. You said all are welcome. And Van Diver replied, you are welcome here. If you can worship with us respectfully, you are welcome here. If you cannot be respectful, you are respectfully invited outside the threshold of this sanctuary. The desire for inclusion does not provide the right to destroy a group. And Dee Van Diver handled the situation perfectly. The person, Deanna Waller, was welcome to be present. She was welcome to worship and to sing. She would have been welcome to attend classes or events. She would have even been welcome to lead a discussion saying, I feel differently. Come and let us talk about it. Absolutely. But her intolerance, her demand that others think like her, that wasn't welcome. It was refused and rejected. We are a faith of deeds, not creeds. And what this means is direct. We expect you to decide what you believe today. May not be what you'll believe tomorrow. And for you to live in accordance with your beliefs. We have 7 principles that we affirm. And if your beliefs and the way you express them in the world align with these ideas in general, this will be a pretty comfortable place for you. If your lived faith, however, is intolerant, if it violates those 7 principles, it is probably not going to be a comfortable fit. Oscar Wilde said that every saint had a past and every sinner had a future. And that's true. No one's perfect. Anyone can change. All people, regardless of the thoughts in their heads, are welcome to come in. But whether you're here for a day or a lifetime, you cannot live out values of intolerance and hatred, control, fascism, violence, and expect to remain. My dad used to say, it is so possible to be so open-minded that your brains all fall out. And the older I get, the more I've explored that idea. The best metaphor I can find is to ask those of you who've been around children to think about what it was like raising your first child, or what it was like the time you were first around a tiny child. With your first child, everything was sterilized, right? Had to be absolute. Bottles and pacifiers were boiled. If you dropped a spoon, you got another one. I had a friend who cried because her little one ate a grape off the floor and she was convinced he was going to die of something. Everything had to be the right way or the child was going to keel over. You just knew it. By your third child or your first grandchild, things change and you've learned that even though you wouldn't feed them out of the cat bowl, if they got a bite of dog food, they are not going to die. You've learned to wipe the pacifier on your sleeve, pick up the spoon and yell 5-second rule. Perfection is impossible, or at least very improbable, and it's impossible without sacrificing all other values before it. You could have joy and love and time to make dinner and cuddle your child, or you could do it all perfectly. Perfection in ideology is the exact same. We can't sacrifice all else that we hold dear on the altar of fairness and tolerance. We cannot be so open-minded that our brains fall out. We cannot welcome those whose lived values are the exact opposite of our principles. If someone works to destroy the inherent worth of dignity of other people, they're not expressing UU values. If you deny justice and equity and compassion in human relations, those aren't UU values. If you encourage rejection, if you deny others the free and responsible search for truth and meaning, if you work to destroy democracy and the right of conscience, if you reject and work to prevent the goal of world community, if you have no respect for our connections to one another, those are not UU values. Are you welcome to have them in your head? Sure, absolutely. Doesn't cause a problem there. But when you start to live them in the world, this may not be a great fit. The paradox of tolerance is a narrow passage. And we thread it together for all the saints and the sinners and everyone in between who need us to exist every day in order to work at healing the world and transforming the pain of the broken into a chance at life. The only thing we can't do is to accept those who call for destruction of acceptance. Where the exact lines are, that's up for every church to decide. That isn't for somebody to say from the pulpit. That's for the people to decide. But I would say to you, love the hell out of the world. Tolerate all that you can. And when there is nowhere else to go, hold the door open boldly and say, if you cannot be respectful, you are respectfully invited outside the threshold of this sanctuary. Amen.